Jesus' name. Say it again, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We have gathered here in Jesus' name. Let's say that again. We are here in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so glad that I'm in the house of God. I'm glad that I can call on the name of the Lord and know what that name is. What's that name?
Jesus.
Praise God. Thank you. Please take your Bibles. We're going to get into the Word of the Lord. As soon as I find my outline, I may have to wing it here. Praise God. Well, at least I have my scriptures marked. Let's look at Matthew 17, verses 19 through 21. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe in your word. More than anything else, Lord, we know that you care for us. You love us. We know that you are present here. We ask, help us, each of us, to receive your word in our hearts and our minds. Help us, oh God, to know, Lord, that you have spoken to us and to submit ourselves to the thing you say. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Glory to God. We're going to talk about prayer and fasting this morning. Pastor Roy has mentioned in previous services that that's the focus of this month, and I want to share with you something about that. This kind of a tradition. You found my outline? Nope, that's not it. That's an old one. I can preach that one if you want. Praise God. It's not the first time, won't be the last. Anyway, it's become kind of a tradition in United Pentecostal churches and maybe in all kinds of different churches. All I know is my experience. The first part of the year is committed to prayer and fasting. But, you know, nobody tells us we have to follow a certain order or anything as a church. And if you don't know, I'm the pastor of Voces Unidas, a Spanish-English church, bilingual church. And I decided to go along with that idea and prayed about it. You know, I felt like that's where the Lord wanted me to go. And I had decided and planned on doing that before I knew that Calvary Gospel was going to do it. So my point is this. I think that this topic is what we need. In the book of Revelation, the Spirit of the Lord says, let the church hear what the Spirit says to the church. Praise God. I believe in every service, when the Holy Ghost is present, that God talks to each one of us individually. And this goes right along with the whole message here. God wants to talk to you before you leave today. He wants to talk to me, but he also is talking to the church as a body. And sometimes as individuals, especially in our individualistic culture, we tend to separate ourselves from the body and think that, well, God has a different message for me. But I believe this is a message that God is speaking to the body. Let's look at Mark 9. The same story, we're going to come back to this in Matthew 17, but in Mark 9, the same story is told. Same exact situation. Mark is a little more succinct, more brief when he tells stories, usually. Chapter 9, verse 17. I'm going to read the longer version of that. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." So, a little more to the story than what at first perhaps we might think. He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when they saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often as he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe." King James Version says, "If you can believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, "I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come unto the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed worship this morning? The presence of God. There's just a boatload of talented and gifted musicians at Calvary Gospel Church. I think we should give them a hand. Praise God. But we didn't come here for a concert this morning, or hopefully you didn't come here for a concert this morning. And it wasn't the music that we felt. Well, maybe you felt some of it because they're that good. But that isn't what caused us to react the way that we reacted. It was the presence and power of God moving in this place. Praise God. I still feel it. Hallelujah. I didn't have that much coffee, and I'm a little bit... Praise God. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship him a minute. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. But Jesus said, "This kind cometh out not but by prayer and fasting." Now, let me apply that to today, what we felt here this morning. Now, we've begun prayer and fasting already this year. How many of you have committed to prayer and fasting for the month of January? Raise your hand. Well, praise God. How many of you have already fasted this year? I know you're not supposed to make a big deal of it, but I'm asking you to. All right. So there's been prayer and fasting already taking place. There are people here in this room that fast at least one day a week, every week. There are people here in this room that fast 2-3 days a month, every month. There are people here that have gone on extended fast, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 30 days. Praise God. Fasting is important, it's necessary. But Jesus said, "This kind cometh out not but by prayer and fasting." But we would not be feeling what we feel here today except but by much prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. If you're a guest of ours, I assume you knew you were coming to a Pentecostal church. And if you didn't, you know it by now. But all of the activity and all of the outward expression that takes place in a Pentecostal church amounts to nothing unless God is involved in it. This kind cometh out not but by much prayer and fasting. Let's go back to Matthew again. I want to read that again. Matthew 17. Why could we not cast it out? They asked him. Because of your unbelief, Jesus said. I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain. The message says this: faith the size of a grain of mustard seed or a poppy seed. I hate those little poppy seeds on my roll, don't I? Get in your teeth. That much faith as a poppy seed. You will say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Praise God. So what is the active ingredient in this process? The active ingredient, all the prayer and fasting you want to do, isn't going to make a difference unless you get to the point where you believe, where you have faith, where something's happening between you and God, where something's changing inside of you, and you believe that what God says He's going to do, He's going to do. Praise God. He didn't say they didn't come out because you didn't pray and fast enough. That's not what He said. He said it didn't come out because you didn't have enough faith. And then He gave the prescription. Prayer and fasting is how we increase our faith so that we can see God work in our lives. Praise God. I used to teach in the 101 class, and I'm sure Brother Thompson, Sister Thompson, probably teach it a little different than I do. If you know, everybody's different. But this is the thing I stress when we talked about prayer and fasting. It's not as if God is counting the hours or the minutes. And if you only fast for 23 hours and 35 minutes instead of 24 hours, if you only make it to 23 hours and 50 minutes, you break your fast 10 minutes early. God doesn't say, oh, nope, I'm not accepting that. That doesn't cut it, mister. We set a day. It's not a day. I'm in charge of the sun and the moon and the stars. I know what a day is. You think that's how God approaches us? Can you imagine if God approached everything in that way? We could never live up to the standard that God has because He's perfect. Praise God. The reason we fast and pray is not to gain points on the eternal scoreboard or to accumulate leverage in the eternal battle in the spirit world. The reason we fast and pray is so that we can draw close to God, so we can understand what saith the word of the Lord, so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I feel God right now. Somebody needs to get this. I need to get this. Some of us, we have this independent streak. wherever it runs through us. I don't know if it runs down the back or the side or... And we want to figure it out for ourselves. It's like children when they're learning to tie their shoes or get dressed. I'll do it myself. But sometimes God speaks to the church. Sometimes God's moving his people. And us independent types, I mean, you independent types, we got our own ideas. I want to go this way, or I think we should do it that way, or this is how it ought to be done. But God is saying, I'm moving my people. And it's a terrible feeling when you're on the outside and everyone else is worshiping the Lord and feeling in the presence of God and getting with the program and we're going somewhere and you're thinking, I want to go this way. I'm praying. I'm fasting. Why can't we go this way? Because this is what the Spirit is saying to the church. So if you're praying and fasting to have your own way, then maybe what we need to do is pray and fast and find out what His way is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. I'm not saying the majority is always right. I know that's not true. Look at the political world. But at some point, we have to recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is leading His people. And it's not very often when you have leaders that are praying and fasting and seeking God together that they're going to completely miss the will of God. So we need to pray and fast so we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Especially us independent types. Hallelujah. So the emphasis here is not on the fasting. I mean, fasting is a necessary element and I could teach a lesson about how to fast. There are people here who are, you could call them experts on fasting. I'm not kidding. I'm not making light of that. That's true. They've got more experience, way more experience in fasting for long periods and different types of fasts than I do. A fast is when you withhold yourself from consuming something that your appetites desire. That's a general definition of a fast. The most common understanding of a fast in the scriptural sense is to not eat food. No sustenance, just water. And in some cases, it means no food or water, but that's a dangerous thing, and I'm not recommending you try that. But there are many kinds of fasts, even in the scripture, and we have designed other types of fasts that we can, you know, I've often talked about going on a milkshake fast. I like that idea. Nothing but milkshake and water. If I put bananas in there, it's still a milkshake, right? Praise God. I'm not going to ask a question. Don't raise your hand. Just think about this. How many of you enjoy fasting? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Now, how many of you don't enjoy fasting? All right. But it's a scriptural thing. It's a biblical thing. And Jesus said we ought to do it. At one point, the Pharisee, they came to Jesus and they talked about fasting. And they said, you know, our followers, the Pharisees' followers, the people who practice religion like we practice religion, they fast on a regular basis. They had specific days of the week that they fasted. You know, like, I think it was Tuesday and Thursday, or I just read this somewhere. And Jesus said, great, that's good. he said. But, you know, these disciples, they're, it's like at a wedding feast. I'm the bridegroom. I'm what the party's all about. And while I'm here, they don't need to fast because they're already in touch with God. That's what that means. Jesus said, why should they fast? They're walking around with me. They don't need to fast. All they have to do is pay attention. And he said, but when I'm gone, then my disciples will fast. That means Jesus was saying, yeah, we need to fast. Why? So we can get in touch with God. So we can hear what Jesus has to say to us. Amen. Praise God. It's necessary. It's a necessary part of a walk with God. Not because Brother Seidel said so, not because Pastor Roy said so, not because Pastor Grant said so, not because the United Pentecostal Church has set aside a month of prayer and fasting, but because Jesus said we need to do it in order to stay in touch with him. Praise God. This kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. If you want to have the worship, if people stopped fasting, stopped praying, stopped seeking God before church service, these church services here at Calvary Gospel Church and at Voces Unidas would not be what they are today. Praise God. That's just the truth. God wants to do good things for us. God wants to move in every service. Every time we come together, God wants to do things in our lives, but sometimes we're just not in tune with him unless we get the flesh set aside and let God speak to us. Praise God. So that's the first thing we need to understand, that fasting is, let's look at 2 Samuel 12. I'm already behind. 2 Samuel 12:1-2 I'm trying to be transparent because I fast, I pray, but I'm not very good at fasting. I don't like it. I say every time I teach or preach about fasting, I make sure that's clear. But I do it because I need to. I know I need to. Oh, hallelujah. Milkshake fast. Just remember that. Milkshake fast. Pray about it. See if that's what God wants you to do. Second Samuel 12:16-20. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. He's fasting and he's praying, but the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he's dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. Praise God. What? That doesn't make sense to us. God, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. That's what some of us approach fasting as, the way to get God to do our will. But that's not what David was doing. David was pleading with God. He was seeing if there was some other way. Is there something, God, that I can do that can change the course of events? This child was a child that was born as a result of David's adulterous behavior. He knew he was guilty. I don't believe the child suffered because of David's sin. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God's judgment was on the child. believe, now I, Brother Grant, Pastor Roy, you can correct this at some point if necessary, but I don't believe that child suffered. I believe that child today is in the presence of God. Is that okay? And I'd be glad to have that philosophical, theological debate with you anytime. Praise God. But David was fasting, one, because of his own guilt, but also because he was hoping that somehow he could do something, find something to change God's mind. But this was determined. This was. I don't know why that child had to die, but it evidently was God's will. What am I saying? The Bible does speak of God changing his mind in places in the Scripture, and I'm not sure I fully understand that. But I believe that when we fast and pray, the primary emphasis is on taking care of this human nature so that it can be submitted to his divine will and his holy nature. And when we get out of God's will, which David was out of God's will when he behaved the way he did, and then he began to fast and pray to try and figure out how to get into God's will. And maybe if he did, maybe things would change. But then when he realized it was God's will that this child die, what did he do? He went into the temple and he worshiped. Praise God. He went into the temple and he worshiped. Praise God. Once we recognize the will of God, what's our responsibility? To worship God. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray after this manner. That's how he started it. That's above all else. Whatever else we recognize in fasting and prayer, we must recognize that the will of God is sovereign and that he is the Almighty. He is our Heavenly Father. And if we've got an issue, if we've got a problem, if we're struggling with something, then it's not his problem, it's my problem, and I better fast and pray and do something about it to get in his will so that I can get back into the house of God and worship him again with my brothers and sisters. David fasted, didn't get what he wanted. When he recognized God's will, he worshiped. Everybody who's got their cell phone with them, hold it up. Don't turn it on. Just hold it up. I'm not going to make you put it in the offering or anything like that. All right. Most of you have a list of phone numbers in that phone. And there are some people that you knew that were friends of yours at one time or another, and their name's not in that phone because you haven't called them. You haven't talked to them. Maybe your best friend from high school. Maybe someone you went to college with. Maybe someone, an old roommate or whatever, but you haven't talked to them for a long time. You don't have their number in your phone. Why not? Because you don't call them very much, if at all. And they haven't called you. So what do you think is going to happen if for some reason or another something comes up where you need to talk to that person? It'd be kind of awkward, you know. Hey, remember that $50 you owe me? Lead with that once when you haven't talked to someone for a couple years. See how that conversation goes. Or call them up, someone you haven't talked to in 5 years, and say, hey, I really need you to do something for me. I need your help. Drive over here. I know it's 2 hours away, but I really need you to drive over to my house. But that's how some of us sometimes we approach God. You don't even have his phone number in your phone. You don't remember how to get a hold of him because you haven't talked to him for so long. Maybe you never have. How come it's so quiet? So why would we think that when we need God that he should suddenly drop everything and come in and help us with our problem? When we haven't called him, we haven't connected with him, we haven't talked to him. This kind cometh out but by prayer and fasting. Now, I always quote this, I say, but by much prayer and fasting. It doesn't say that. It just says prayer and fasting. But if you read it and you look closely at it, it indicates that it's more than just, you know, you didn't fast yesterday, so I'm not moving today. It's really saying that there needs to be a lifestyle of prayer and fasting if you want to have this kind of authority to cast out devils. That's what he's saying. Praise God. So you may fast for the first time in 2014, the first time in your life in January of 2014, and you may think, well, you know, I still owe rent. Well, of course you do. Because prayer and fasting is designed to help us find God's will and learn how to do the right thing and do what God wants us to do. And as we do that, guess what happens? Then our faith grows. If I do what God says, we fast to submit our human nature to the Spirit of God. That's the primary purpose. I know that's oversimplification, but nonetheless, once we learn to do that on a regular basis, then it's way easier to obey the voice of God, to hear the voice of God, to know the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they will know it. Now, there's a lot of people who hear preaching. There's a lot of people who even hear the word of God, but they don't recognize God's voice when he's speaking. I want to know God is talking to me. And I want to know that it's the voice of God when he speaks. Hallelujah. Now, and I use this example, and it's just my experience. I'm not trying to lift myself up in any way, because actually, in one sense of the word, you could say I didn't do what I said I was going to do. I had a difficult life-changing decision for myself and my family, and I sought God, and I said, I'm going to fast and pray, because I needed God. I needed to make a choice. It was one of the most difficult times of my life, biggest decisions I ever made. And I said, I'm going to fast for 3 days, and I'm going to get an answer. I'm going to make sure I know God's will. On the second day of my fast, God spoke to me, you know, and it wasn't written in the sky, and it didn't echo in my car or anything like that. But in my heart, I know the Holy Ghost gave me a sentence. He said, I have something else for you. Yeah? That's all. That's it. But I knew it was the word of, I knew it was God's voice. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I can't tell you how I knew. The Bible says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. But if we can't be sensitive enough to understand what the Spirit is saying to our spirit, then we're not going to get it. We're not going to hear it. We're not going to understand the will of God. That's why we fast. That's why we pray, to seek God's will. I knew I had a word from God. It wasn't what I wanted, to tell you the truth. I wanted something else. But I knew it was God, and it was just like, that's it, I'm not telling you anymore. That's all you need to know right now. I thought, okay, fine. If that's all I need to know, I'm not fasting the third day. Because I got my answer. Isn't that what it's all about? Is hearing from God. Don't we want to hear from God? Don't you want to hear from God today? Don't you want to know that God's talking to you? Praise God. Let's stand. Oh, praise God. It's not about my sacrifice. It's not about how holy I am or how good I am or how much I can fast or how long I can pray or how fancy my words are. It's about getting close to God and hearing His voice and feeling His presence. So whether you're Pentecostal or you're not Pentecostal here this morning, the presence of God is here. And you don't have to have fasted all week long to be filled with His presence. God is here right now. All you need to do is tune into the presence of God. Praise God. For our musicians to come. It's like washing your car. How many of you have salt and road grime on your car? Anybody go to the car wash yesterday? All right. Bet their car's cleaner than mine. All right. Now, some of us maybe came here today without prayer. We didn't find time to pray. We didn't seek God. We didn't repent. And maybe our internal car's a little dirtier than Pastor Roy's or Pastor Grant's because they were praying all morning. Praise God. But you can come and get your spirit cleaned right now. Whatever you did this week, you can make a commitment to God and He will take you at your word if you're sincere and honest and open with Him and you speak to Him in faith. Everyone say faith. Faith. You need to fast. I need to fast. We need to pray. But so fast for the next minute and a half and then come down and pray. But if you will come and pray in faith, God will give you an answer. He will help you because others have prayed and fasted and sought God for this service today. Others have called on the name of Jesus and prayed for you by name. Praise God. This kind will happen by much prayer and fasting, and it's here right now. If you need the Holy Spirit, won't you come and pray? If you've never been filled with God's presence, He will fill you up right now. You'll begin to speak in another language that you never knew just because God is so great. If you have sin in your life, you can repent. Come over on this side if you want to turn your life over to God, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you need healing, oh, I'm not worthy. None of us is worthy. That's why we all fast and pray for each other. Come down here and seek your healing. If you just are struggling with something in your life and you don't know how to deal with it, come right down in the middle and someone will help you pray. See, this kind comes out by much prayer and fasting, but there has been prayer and fasting going on, and the presence of God is here right now, and He will meet your need. All you have to do is do what the Bible says. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we will confess them. Come and confess your fault, confess your weakness, confess your sin, and commit your life to God. That's called repentance. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. That's God's will. That's God's plan. Praise God. The presence of God is here.